Today, we are going to do the respiratory system. And we're going to start off with an anatomy and physiology review. This is what you should have learned and retained and remembered from AMP 1 and 2. So hopefully, this will be really easy and we can just breeze on through this. So first thing we have is the definition of respiration. It is the movement of oxygen from the atmosphere into cells and the return of carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. It is actually made up of several different types of respiration. The first one we have is called ventilation. Ventilation is the movement of air into and out of the lungs. Next, we have external respiration, which is the diffusion of oxygen and carbon dioxide between air and blood. And this takes place in the alveoli. So again, hopefully this should not be new material that you're having to learn for the first time. It should all be review. Then we have internal respiration, which is the use of glucose energy to form ATP with or without oxygen. So we have two forms of internal respiration. What are they? Say again? Anaerobic and aerobic. So aerobic is in the presence of oxygen, and anaerobic is in the presence of no oxygen. So what is the byproduct of aerobic respiration? Tough one. It's not like you guys haven't been learning this. I mean, we've gone over this several times in this course already. What is the product of aerobic respiration? Glucose plus oxygen yields carbon dioxide plus water. All right. This silence, next time I'll have to punish you for that. You should just say aerobic respiration. Oh, Dr. Heyman, that's carbon dioxide plus water. Are you crazy? It's the same thing you get when you burn propane gas. You should know this. You should be like, fair. All right, now you get a chance to redeem yourselves. What is the product of anaerobic respiration? Glucose plus no oxygen yields lactic acid. Beautiful. Great. All right, so let's talk about each one of these in turn. First, we have ventilation. So first thing we're going to go through is either the nose or the mouth. And we're going to go through the throat, into the trachea, through from the trachea into the bronchi, from the bronchi into bronchioles, which are even smaller, and then into the alveoli. This is the final destination. Please leave the train at this point. So now, in the alveoli, there's actually no air movement. Okay, so go. Go. That air movement that you just did does not reach the alveoli. In the alveoli, air movement occurs by diffusion only. So as you take that breath, air slows, you know, starts in your mouth, in your trachea pretty quickly. But as it gets to the alveoli, it slows down to the point where there's no real air movement. It's just diffusion. Oh, which means if we want to get more oxygen into a person, what do we need more of? In that ventilation. If you want to get more of a gas into a person's alveoli, what's the best way to do it? Okay. It's driven by what? Diffusion. And what drives diffusion? Concentration gradient. So if we want more oxygen to go into a person's lungs, the best way we can do is to increase the amount of oxygen in the air a person is breathing. All right. Next, we have a picture of what we just described. So nasal cavity or oral cavity into the pharynx, down the larynx, into the trachea. This little part here is called the trachea. When you get to the very bottom of the trachea, what's that last part of the trachea called? Say again? The carina, the carina, the carina, depending on who your prof was. And then that, you're going to get a split into the left and the right bronchi, or the primary bronchi. Then we're going to get splits into several other bronchi. What are those called? Lobar. How many lobes does the lung have? The right one has three, the left one has two. So how many lobar bronchi are there on the left? Two, okay, good. And how many are there on the right? Oh, you guys are good, three. So the main bronchi split into the lobar bronchi, and then from there, each lobe has several segments. So those lobar bronchi are going to split into segmented bronchi. It all makes sense. And so as you keep dividing the lung into smaller and smaller pieces, you keep getting divisions of bronchi until you get to the very, very smallest ones, and those are called bronchioles. So here is our terminal bronchiole, because it's terminal because this is where the air gets off the bus. And then we have this area here. This is called the respiratory unit, or acinus. Say acinus. You dirty potty mouth people. All right, the acinus is also called the respiratory unit of the lung. And it's made up of a terminal bronchiole with little cluster grapes that we call alveoli. Now, the alveoli are separated by little membrane walls that are called septa. What does the word septum mean? Wall, okay, that's good. And then those little walls, they have doorways in them, and we call those pores of cone. So I don't know why we don't call them cones pores, but pores of cone. So we've got little grapes separated by septa, and in those little septa are doorways, little holes called pores of cone. All right. Now, as we come down the bronchi has a special layer of cells. They're epithelial cells, and they have little hairs. Little hairs. Give me little hairs. Now, these little spirit finger hairs, what they're going to do is they're going to pull dust and other stuff back up the bronchi. So imagine for a moment that you take a deep breath. Go ahead, take a breath. And there is some dust in there. Now, do you want that dust getting down into your lungs? I mean, what if it's got bacteria riding on it? That wouldn't be good, would it? So what we would like is for those little pieces of dust to get trapped somewhere in our bronchi by these little hairs, who are then going to crowd surf the dust back up until it hits the level of your carina, where you'll feel a little tickle in your chest and you will cough. So this is a mechanism to prevent nasty stuff other than just pure air from getting down to these little guys, the alveoli. All right, from your nose to your bronchi, lined with ciliated mucous membranes. Oh, that's very good. Ciliated mucous membranes. What does ciliated mean? The little spirit finger hairs. And what's their job? To crowd surf dust and other junk back up. All right, in addition to that, the purpose of these hairs is to help warm the air. Okay. How many of you have ever been to a very cold climate? And you walk outside, and you're like, and like your snot freezes. And it just burns your lungs. It's not a fun experience. Part of the reason we have this layer of air passages, the reason we don't have our lungs on the outside, is because we want to warm that air up before it gets to the alveoli so we don't freeze our little bodies from the inside out. So another thing is it produces mucus. Now the mucus is supposed to trap fine particles, and it will also humidify the air. How many of you ever lived in a dry climate before? Anyone live in the mountains? Anyone ever go to the mountains to go skiing? Your nose becomes a giant booger factory, and then you get nosebleeds because your body's going, the air is so dry, your body's trying to compensate by overproducing mucus. Hairs. The little hairs are supposed to trap particles. So when next time you tell your boyfriend, that nose hair is so disgusting, just remember, it's protecting him. You are the cruel person who wants him to get dust trapped, you know, and breathe it in. It also helps to move the mucus outward. Now, the larynx, right about here, put your hand right here. Okay, this is about the level of your larynx. You cannot see it when you look in a person's mouth. It contains the vocal cords, which vibrate as you make noises. So you all play a stringed instrument. Did you know that? Your voice is essentially a stringed instrument. And then we have the epiglottis. What is the epiglottis? All right. Do like this. Make a little cylinder with your hand. Now, put a little cap on it. This is your epiglottis. Its purpose is that when you swallow, the epiglottis will go down so that food does not get into your trachea. That's the purpose of the epiglottis, is to protect your trachea from food and other nasty stuff. When you breathe in the wrong way and you're like, and you can't, and then you have to like, that's because your epiglottis was not doing its job properly. Now, the older a person gets, guess what? The less their epiglottis works. Little young kids, guess what? Their epiglottises don't work that well either. So people who are very young and people who are older are both at risk for what we call aspiration. Aspiration is when you breathe in stuff down your trachea that should have been swallowed. All right, now we have the tracheobronchial tree. So start with the trachea. It is a semi-rigid, incomplete ring of cartilage. Okay, it's characterized by. Now, why is it incomplete rings? Little horseshoes. Okay, so put your hand on your trachea. Now push a little bit, not too hard, because that'll hurt. Now, what do you feel as you go up and down? Okay, you should feel a little bit of ridges. Now, those ridges are these semi-rigid, incomplete rings of cartilage. How come they're only in the front? How come they're not in the back? Protection from what? Okay, so we're protecting the front from getting hurt, but why don't we have them in the back? Okay, well, there's two reasons. One is because the back is actually shared space with the esophagus. Whenever you swallow, your epiglottis closes, so you shouldn't be breathing in at that very moment. And as the food goes down, it actually pushes into the trachea's space. And then at the same time, you need protection from the back. What do you have in the back to protect you? Cervical vertebrae. So the back of your neck, the back of your neck is already protected, so you don't need to protect the back of your trachea. Now, this can lead us to an interesting thing. This ET tube stands for endotracheal tube. Sometimes when we intubate a person, if they need to ambubag them or if we need to put them on a ventilator, you're going to put a tube from their mouth down their trachea, and then there's a little cuff that you blow up to hold it in place. And if you blow that cuff up too much, you can actually erode the back of the trachea, and so you can actually cause a hole in the back of the trachea. Now, where does that hole go to? The esophagus. So now when a person goes to drink something, it pours down their esophagus into their trachea, and now you've bypassed their epiglottis. Not good. So this can happen, especially in people who have had long-term endotracheal tubes. Always want to make sure we don't overinflate those little cuffs. Now, the carina is the last ring before branching off into the bronchi, and it is heavily innervated. Why is it heavily innervated? What does that mean, heavily innervated? Okay, nerves. Nerves what? Nervated. Okay. What does it mean to innervate? It means it's really nervous? Okay, so it has a lot of nerves that go there and have receptors there. So it is extremely sensitive to touch. So when particles touch it, it triggers coughing. Oh, look, coughing. It can also cause bronchospasm, which is tightening up of the bronchi. The bronchi themselves, the right bronchus is shorter and it is wider. Why is the right one wider? Because it breaks off into three. The one on the left only has to break off into two. So it does not need to be as wide. Now notice, the left one is also longer, narrower, and it is more horizontal. So it kind of breaks off to the left, whereas the right one kind of stays straight. Now, what does this tell us? If you decide that for whatever reason you would like to inhale a hot dog, piece of hot dog, which side is it going to get stuck in? The left or the right? Chances are it's going to go down to the right side because the right side is bigger and it's straighter. The left side is kind of curved, so it's less likely to go off to the left. Now, if you ever decide to become a pulmonologist and you have to do bronchoscopies on people and go down their bronchi and grab those little pieces of hot dogs, which side are you going to look on first? The right. Okay, so just in case you decide to do that, you'll remember. All right, so the branching. We talked about lobar leading to segmented, leading to the prodigal daughter. We have the, we start off with the main bronchi, which branch into lobar, which branch into segmented, which keep branching into smaller and smaller until we get to our terminal bronchioles. They end in our acinus. So, save your acinus and don't smoke. So much fun. You guys need to watch Shrek again. It's quite funny. All right.